TalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we appreciate you joining our program. Now, my partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of the nation's top trial attorneys, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the founder and CEO of Ignition Consulting, serving business, education, and nonprofit clients throughout the United States.
Now, each week, James and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And inject some humor and common sense back in, if possible.
If possible. I mean, it's, you know, they say common sense is not common.
That's right.
And being funny is much harder to do than being sad.
Particularly if you're a lawyer.
So,
lawyers are not funny.
They're not funny people. They're too serious. They're like accounting people.
Well,
they just take everything too seriously.
You know.
Yeah. What happened to you?
I wasn't very much of a lawyer.
You spent a very long time doing something you're not very good at.
Right.
Well, that's not true,
of course. That's why they say you practice law. I practice, but what good did it do me? Anyway, proceed.
Don't be fooled, friends. He's a very, very fine lawyer. Very fine. Anyway, that's what they said, what Faversham always says. Very fine man. Very fine man.
That's right.
That's right after payday. Okay. Now, each week, we answer questions from our listeners. And we invite you to send us a question. Because we're on all over the country at different times, it's very hard to do this, so we have to take the old-fashioned way. You send us a message on a very new-fashioned Internet. You can do that by sending them to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And at the end of the program, or later next week, my partner, Mr. Hartman, will put his prolific thinking mind to the test and get you a cogent and pithy answer. So there you have it. Now, without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Oh, my goodness, we're gonna go out of the country for this here because we have a Christian woman who is now sentenced to death for blasphemy. Now, this is happening in Pakistan?
This is in Pakistan, which, of course, as you know, is
so she said something against the religion and they're going
to... No, she didn't say anything against it.
Well, that's blasphemy.
Well, but who knows what blasphemy is?
All right.
It could be a difference of opinion. It's like heresy, you know. Blasphemy is different heresy. Blasphemy is really using the name of Muhammad.
Right.
If you're a Muslim or Jesus, if you're a Christian or God, just plain God, if you're a Jewish or the totem pole, if you're an Indian.
Right. Or an Eskimo.
But the thing is that, over there, they're very fussy about anything. They kill at the first, you know.
Doesn't the first take sign of a misspelling.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're, that's right. I mean, so anyways, this lady, Asiya Bibi, a 45-year-old mother of five, mind you, denies blasphemy. She's a Christian woman, and I guess she practiced her religion, and they said that's blasphemy. These crazy people over there.
Right.
And she told investigators that she was being persecuted for her faith, which she probably is because they do that in Pakistan, in a country where Christians face routine harassment and discrimination. So her supporters say she will now appeal against the sentence handed down in a local court. In the town of Shikapura.
Oh.
Well, you can imagine. It's like a justice court. It's like a police court. They hand you down. They give you a death penalty there.
Right.
It's so the death penalty is so ubiquitous that even, in a local court they can give it.
Well, parking
the
violations.
The guy says, that's right. The light was red. Give him the hang him.
Went through
stone
the red
him.
Light.
Stone him. So anyway, so Ashik Mazi, her husband, said, he had not had the heart to break the news to two of their children that their mother is going to be killed.
She's married to a sheik?
No, this is not a sheik. His name is Ashik.
I thought you said
like the article,
right.
A sheik.
A sheik.
No, this is not a sheik.
Yeah.
This is a sheik.
See, this would have been good if he was a sheik as opposed to a sheik.
Well, if he's a sheik,
they wouldn't have messed with him.
He runs the show because
he
can fix the courts.
So maybe this guy could fix his name up and fool him.
Well, this is another example of how merciful their system of justice is.
Oh, my goodness.
Because when the police, they mobbed her. Some of the other, what happened was this. I can't believe this. She had been working as a farmhand in fields with other women. And when she was asked to fetch drinking water, some of the other women, all Muslims, refused to drink the water because it was brought by a Christian, and apparently that makes the water unclean and contaminated.
Right.
Of course, according to Mr. Bibby's evidence. So this sparked a row there, a little argument, an altercation, and although the incident was forgotten until a few days later when Ms. Bibby said she was set upon by a mob. And the police were under pressure from this Muslim mob, including clerics, asking for Isaiah to be killed because she had spoken ill of the Prophet Muhammad. And she says, I didn't speak ill of him. I didn't say anything about him. She had been in isolation for more than a year now, and now they sentenced her to death by hanging.
This is insanity.
Now,
she
let me
probably
tell you
said, if you like the water, get Muhammad to get it.
Well, yeah. Well, if he brought it would be very holy water.
Right.
So the thing that I'm saying is, if this is such a religion of peace, why is it in all these countries that are Muslim countries, they chop your hands off, they stone you, they hang you for blasphemy? What kind of nonsense is it?
Well,
what kind of a nuthouse are they running over there? And we're over there.
Right.
Why are we there?
Well, that's a whole other question.
To bring peace and security to these wackos?
Well,
I get it.
That's,
I hate to get worked up, which of course I do. But it just seems so, I mean, it's so horrific that that's it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had enough.
I did. I had enough of
it. You're giving me a headache with that first
I know.
One. First story gives you a headache. It's downhill from there.
Exactly.
Well, here's more local stuff.
Right.
This is the stuff that people in the United States get themselves involved in. There are some top county officials. You're going to tell us what county in a minute. But they have been caught for tampering. But they've been tampering with a lot of things.
Well, they have been tampering. It's in Prince George's County, Maryland, which adjoins Washington, the District of Columbia.
Yes.
The county executive, Jack Johnson, whose second term expires next month, and his wife, Leslie, who is also a member of the county council, I mean, they got the county wrapped up.
That's unbelievable.
Have been charged with witness and evidence tampering and destruction. Now, they didn't destroy the witness. They tampered with the witness.
Right, right.
Alteration of documents and falsification of records. And this is a federal investigation, and the charges go out of a five-year-old investigation. This is another example of government officials. They just are so impossible.
But this has taken 5 years, this investigation?
Well, they investigated for 5 years.
And what did they tamper with? I know they tamper with evidence. What did they do? What are they accused of?
Well, first of all, taking money.
Oh, that's... So what's
new? Right. So they tapped the phones.
I thought you said they did something bad.
Well, they did. That's right. You know, it's every day. They tapped the phones. The FBI agents got a phone tap, I think.
Okay.
Filled out an affidavit says that they recorded a mobile phone conversation between the Johnsons after agents went knocking on their door. After Johnson told his wife on the telephone, don't answer it, he instructed her over the phone, go upstairs, go in the bedroom and destroy the check. It was a $100,000 check.
Oh.
So he said, tear it up. That's the only thing you have to do, he told his wife. And his wife said, do you want me to put it down the toilet?
Yes.
And he said, yes, good idea.
Good idea.
Do you want me to put it down? And he says, yes, flush that. That would be a royal flush at $100,000. That would be a wonderful flush. So she did that. But then he said, you got cash there too? She said, yeah. Stick it in your underwear.
Oh.
She put it in her underwear. I think she put it in a brassiere.
Oh,
$79,600 in a brassiere.
Wow.
Now, you know what tipped the FBI off?
What?
It was all in ones.
This woman was blowing out of her shirt.
Well, they face a maximum of 20 years in prison for being, you know, for being corrupt and taking bribes and breaking the law and everything else. But, you know, you read this every day. People in government are just unbelievable. This is like that guy Jefferson who put... The congressman is no longer a congressman. Louisiana.
Right. Put the money
put the $90,000 in a freezer.
Right.
And this one, she put it in a brassiere. And,
right.
You know, the St. George's County is a pretty...
upscale?
Well, it's one of the wealthiest counties in the United States with an African-American majority. Most of those are poor counties. And this seems to be a pretty wealthy, well-to-do county. Well, there you go.
The Johnsons are...
They're
in trouble.
Well, and, you know, she worked for the government. That's how she gets experience in stealing. She worked for the District of Columbia government for nearly three decades.
Oh, well, it's a professional.
I guess they must have a lot of money put away from their government service. it's wonderful. That's a public trust.
Yes, sir. Yes, they're starting their own trust fund.
Trust me? Don't you trust me? No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't, folks.
Oh,
so that's another case
that's Maryland
this week.
For you. Well, let's go around the world here to around the county, around the country. Airport screening.
Oh, boy.
It is now at fever's pitch. There have been all kinds of stories. And a question here is, does it violate the Fourth Amendment?
Well, that's a question we don't know yet. We don't know the answer to that, but that could become an issue if lawsuits are brought about this. Now, first of all, there have been, you know, there's a general rule, there has been a general rule, that the constitutional protections sometimes yield to exigent circumstances.
Right.
They yield to what the court has said in the past is a clear and present danger. And I got to tell you something. Terrorism, there's no clearer or more present danger than terrorism.
Okay.
So that, frankly, they want to search me, I don't care. You want to be invasive, I don't want you horsing around on my groin or anything, but I'll take, you know, if you have to, you have to.
Right.
But you know, the scan, so they see my naked body in a private room. You could see my naked body in a public room. Nobody would give a darn.
All right.
So anyhow, some person started a lawsuit, said, if you touch my junk, I'm going to sue you.
It was all over the papers. TV,
and
yes.
But now the Transportation Safety Administration is trying to explain why they have to do this. And most people are not offended by it. I mean, 70-some-odd percent of the population says, go ahead and do it if you have to do it because the country is in danger, and it is in danger.
Right.
Don't forget there was a plane supposed to blow up over the East Coast.
That's right.
So you're sort of, you know, you're sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't situation. People would be hopping mad if the TCA, the TSA, excuse me, if the Christmas bomber, Abdullah, blah, 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 whatever his name was,
right,
had succeeded and the plane blew up. So I think this is going to be an interesting question before the courts, but right now it's in a state of flux.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
Yes. And that could be, they could, you know, if you wear those crazy underwear there, you'll scare the heck out of them when you go through that scanner.
I know.
You know, that Edith Joe's stuff. That's
right.
You're always trying to make a buck. I don't know. Well, my partner's a very enterprising young man.
Yes.
Anyhow, we're going to take a short intermission. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. We'll be right back.